Thank you, Braden. Great to have you doing this. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel according to Mark. I'd like to invite you to turn there with me, please, to Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. Remember, the first five writings of the New Testament are the story of Jesus and the early church, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and they tell the greatest story ever told of the life of our Lord. Mark is the second of the Gospels, chapter 13. Would you stand together as I read this part of the eternal word of our God? No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. And may the Lord God bless this reading and reflection on his word today. Thank you all very much. I want you to think. I want you to think what you feel when you stand in the Lincoln Memorial and read the Gettysburg Address and Lincoln's second inaugural, and then walk out on the steps and look east toward the Washington Monument and Capitol Hill. I want you to think what you feel when you walk out of the Lincoln Memorial and turn west and walk across Robert E. Lee's old homestead, now Arlington National Cemetery, with its tomb of the unknowns and JFK's eternal flame. He is an impoverished soul who does not choke back the emotion as these symbols of our nation stir memory and elicit great emotion in the heart and soul of a patriot. Those emotions build a bridge for us into the heart and soul of Jews in Jesus' day. They saw the Jerusalem temple gleaming in a Middle Eastern sun and remember their long and glorious history, which came into focus in that temple, which was the center of the universe because their God lived there, the living and true God. And to that temple mount, someday, many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he can teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. And nation will no longer lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Jesus came to that Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and made straight for that temple. He did the unthinkable there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. He would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And in the white heat of prophetic passion, he declared, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." The throng in Jerusalem for Passover loved him for doing that. The religious authorities hated him for doing that. But the passions of the madding crowd protected him from their doing any harm to his person. They nevertheless tried time and again to discredit him in the fickle eye of public opinion. Every time, the opposite happened. He walked unscathed among dragons until he walked out of the temple. His disciples walked out with him and didn't really know what to say, and like any good man, they changed the subject. One disciple looked at the temple complex and said, "Look, teacher, what massive stones and what magnificent buildings." Jesus' reply stopped them in their tracks. He said, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another that will not be thrown down." The disciples wanted to know when Jesus thought that might happen and what will be the sign when these things are all to take place. Jesus did not disappoint. What he said about the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the temple fits the fall of many nations into chaos and ruin. It was to be a time of deception, violence, fear, flight, and the unaccountable spread of the gospel throughout the world. It was a profound moment in time. Jesus then pointed them beyond the coming national disaster. He wanted them to see by faith a new world order arise from the ashes of the old. And so he said to them, "But in those days after that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, stars will be falling out of the sky, the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." It would be hard for the disciples to hold on to Jesus' very visionary sketch of the world to come when Jerusalem lay in ruins, as it was to lay in ruins 40 years later. So Jesus spoke to their faith and speaks to our faith when he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The disciples did ask him one question he never answered. They wanted to know, when is this going to happen? He gave them signs to look for, but he never put a date on the calendar, and neither should we. The Gospel of Mark could not be more clear. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Five words tell us what to do. Stay on guard. Stay alert. Keep watch. Don't let him find you sleeping. Watch. Jesus said over and over, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near." In other words, watch Jesus, and you will see the authority of God at work in human life. Watch Jesus, and you will see God's priorities on display. As the disciples learned in the temple that day, the authority of God will contradict human authority. His priorities will contradict our priorities. Unlikely disciples become extravagant disciples when they allow themselves to be corrected by the Lord they follow. They learn sooner or later that his thoughts are not their thoughts. His ways are not their ways. they learn sooner or later that they are doing him no favor by following him. He is pouring out the new wine of heaven, and it remains to be seen if disciples then or disciples now are wineskins that can stretch and not burst under the pressure of his expanding presence in our experience. The one who foretold the fall of Jerusalem is here with us today in bread and cup and gospel. He says to us what he said to them, "Watch me, and you'll see what God is like. God is with you. Don't miss him." We won't miss him if we keep in step with the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit when we watch for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many ways to watch. Let's talk about one that cuts really close to our everyday life. The Apostle Paul said to Christian slaves, "Obey your slave-owning masters, not just when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ doing the will of God from the heart." The daily responsibilities of slaves was the will of God for their life at that point in their lives. Do you ever think of your day-to-day responsibilities as the will of God for your life? Doing them well to please Christ is the best way that you can watch for the second coming. As you hold in your hand the bread and the cup and commune with Christ, you're holding in your hand the visible representations of God with us. Ask him to give you the strength to do your daily job with all your heart as the will of God for your life. Make your promises to him. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead, and if you have said publicly, "Jesus is Lord," you may not be a part of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, but you are one of us, and we want you to eat the bread and drink the cup with us. If you do not yet believe, if you have never said publicly, "Jesus is Lord," it's better not to eat the Lord's Supper. We don't embarrass people here. We won't call attention to you. But this is for people who follow Christ. And if you don't yet follow Christ, why not start doing it today? Ask him to be your Savior. Tell him you are prepared to say publicly, in baptism or in some other way, "Jesus is Lord." And you will begin the adventure of a lifetime, and you will begin everlasting life. Now, our habit here is to pray for the bread, we serve everyone, and we eat together, and then we repeat that for the cup, and to God be the glory. Don Kugelberg, our brother, is going to give thanks for the bread, and Don's not here. So who's next? Tim, thank you.